And while you're here with us, let me just take a few moments with some words of advice to young people, and perhaps they're not so young. When you are the age that most of you are, you make decisions and plans for the future that will affect you for the rest of your life. Think very carefully about what you decide. Do not make decisions that you will later regret. Make decisions that are based upon biblical principles. And always ask yourself, is this in fact a biblical principle or not? Sometimes you'll make a decision based upon a principle that's not a biblical principle, which you'll discover later on you were wrong. And that can be rather painful. Also, examine yourselves constantly. The Bible tells us, examine yourselves to see if you're in the faith. It would be an interesting exercise in 5 years' time for all of you to gather together here again, and to see how many of you are still holding to the faith, and to do the same again in 10 years and in 20 years. I will guarantee that some of you will not be here, because there are some amongst you who might believe you're Christians, but you're not. Someone did an exercise, I think it was about 30 years ago, examining what happened to Christian Union presidents after they left university. And a staggering proportion proved to be unconverted because they abandoned the faith. And the Bible teaches that if you are truly converted, you will never abandon the faith. Examine yourselves to see whether you're in the faith. Do not allow yourselves to be deceived, because it is a dreadful thing to have professed to come to Christ, and then your lives subsequently prove that you have not. And how much worse will it be for you on the day of judgment if you have known the truth and then abandoned it? You will suffer far, far more than some aboriginal, some pygmy, some spear thrower, headhunter, that we despise because they're so primitive. And yet these people, many of them, have never heard the gospel. They will be dealt with far more leniently on the day of judgment than those who have heard the gospel and abandoned it. So I give that as a warning and as an encouragement. And I hope that you will prove me wrong, and that you will all live godly lives, and throughout your lives you will bring glory and honour to our Lord and Saviour.
Well, if I can just say on behalf of the Young Life Group, it's a joy to join the church this morning on the Lord's Day to consider God's Word and to join with all the hosts of heaven worshipping and praising God. I want to speak to you on Jonah chapter 4, so if you could open your Bibles at that passage, that would be a great help. But before we consider these verses, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you that your word is truth. And as we've read it this morning, we have heard words from the mouth of God. We pray, Heavenly Father, that your word might affect us this morning, that it might change us by your Spirit, to mould us and make us into the people you would have us to be. We ask that you would speak and that we would listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Imagine this morning that sat next to you is the next great Christian leader in the UK. Whether it be the next Charles Spurgeon, a wonderful preacher, or the next Sharon James, a wonderful encourager of the ladies. Imagine there sat next to you. But I wonder, what would your thinking be about that person? What would your response be to the way God has blessed them? Let me put it another way. Imagine that your local church didn't see tremendous growth, but a church down the road did. Or your youth group didn't see amazing growth, but another youth group really grew massively. I wonder in your heart, would you rejoice at the fact God has blessed that group? Or would there be a hint of the thought, I wish that had been us, or I wish that had been me? Let's think of it another way. Imagine the person next to you is blessed by God with enormous gifts or with amazing godliness. Or maybe they get married. Or maybe they have tremendous possessions which they use for God. But I wonder, how would you think about that person sat next to you? Would there be a hint in your heart of a jealousy that says, I wish it was me? Well, the book of Jonah is very interesting because in Jonah there's a tremendous comparison between the heart of God and the heart of Jonah. And as you read this book, you'll see that Jonah is someone who has a heart which is far from what it should be. If I just recap the story with you, it'd be helpful. So in chapter 1 we read that Jonah is told to go to Nineveh, and he goes in the other direction to Tarshish. And he goes on a boat in the sea, thinking that he can run away from God's call to go and preach in Nineveh. So he's in the boat, he thinks it's going fine, but then a storm arises. He's asleep in the bottom, and the other sailors are terrified. They're terrified because it's a serious storm. It's not just a wind on the sea. This is big stuff. And they go down, they say to Jonah, why are you sleeping, Jonah, when we're going to perish? And they tell him to pray to his God. And they want to find out why they're going through this awful storm. So they draw lots, and Jonah gets the shortest straw. And then Jonah finally owns up to the fact that the reason the storm is there is because he is running from God. They try to go for land, they can't make it. So Jonah says, throw me overboard, and the storm will stop. So the sailors do. So Jonah, into the water, and the storm dies on the boat. But Jonah is there in the water, and you can imagine for the start of it, it seems okay. But if you ever try to swim for a long period of time, it gets pretty tough. And he gets more tired and more tired and more tired until he starts to sink. And then God sends a great fish to eat him. And he's in the belly of this whale for 3 days and three nights. And in the depths of the ocean, Jonah cries out to God and he prays. God hears Jonah's prayer, and then the fish spews Jonah up on a beach. And Jonah then goes to Nineveh, listening to God's call a second time. And what happens? Well, we heard it. When the Ninevites hear that God is going to overthrow the city, they repent. They turn from their sin and they turn to God. And then God relents. And then we find ourselves at the start of chapter 4. And we see Jonah's response to God's graciousness to the Ninevites. And did you see it? He was displeased exceedingly, and he became angry. So the Ninevites have all just turned to God, and Jonah, this prophet who was told to go and speak to them, is furious. Now, why do you think Jonah is so angry? Why is Jonah furious that the Ninevites have repented? Well, we find out in verse 2, if you read it, it says this. This is what I said would happen when I was in my country. That's why he fled, because he knew that God was gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in loving kindness, one who relents from doing harm. So Jonah is angry because God has been gracious to the Ninevites. But hang on, this doesn't make sense. Surely if this guy is a prophet of God, why is a prophet of God angry when people hear what he said and turn? Surely that should make Jonah rejoice. Surely that should make him say, this is fantastic, people are turning to God. But the story is actually much deeper than that. Because if you know anything about the history and the geography of Israel, you would know the Ninevites weren't Israelites, they were pagans. And they were the enemies of Israel. So Jonah is angry because God is hearing the call of those Ninevites, the enemies of God. But actually, it's even worse than that. Jonah is angry because he's afraid of something. He's afraid that God's blessing is going to depart from the Israelites and is going to transfer elsewhere. It was interesting, the title of the book you mentioned, he was a patriot. And that's actually what's going on here. Jonah is furious because he doesn't want God's blessing to depart from the Israelites. And that's why he runs. That's why he goes in the opposite direction when God says, go to Nineveh. He goes the other way. Jonah didn't want God to bless any other nation other than the Israelites. Jonah didn't want God to be gracious to anyone else but his people. And then we have that question in verse 4. Is it right for you to be angry? And in that question, what we see is the heart of Jonah, which is far from what it should be. Because he is angry that God has been gracious. But folks, how many of us, when the blessing doesn't come to us, when the encouragement doesn't come to us, are we jealous in our hearts because God has been gracious to someone else? You see, Jonah's got it completely wrong. He's got it completely wrong because he's forgotten where he's come from. He's forgotten that the Israelites had pagan origins. In the sense that Abraham came from the Ur of the Chaldeans. There's nothing special about Abraham, just that God has shown him grace and that God has called him out to form a people. But Jonah is angry because that grace is being shown to other people and to other nations. You can think of it a little bit like this. Imagine there's a family, a couple, a husband and a wife, and they don't have any children. But they adopt two sons. And both sons are from pretty rough backgrounds, rebellious backgrounds. They've been just living lives that weren't great. They were out there stealing. They were out there fighting. They were out there vandalizing. And then they show them love in that family. And one son responds well to that love. And he goes well. His grades pick up at school. He stops stealing. Stops doing those things. And the other doesn't. But the family still shows him love. And eventually, that second son responds to the grace that's shown. Responds to the love that's shown. And he starts to do well in something. He starts to play music well. So his parents think, great, we found something he likes. And they buy him a gift. And then the eldest son is furious. The eldest son is angry because he hasn't received that gift. It's a bit like what's going on there between the Israelites and the Ninevites and in Jonah's heart. But for us today, the question we have to ask us is, do we remember God's grace to us? Or do we get angry when he is gracious to other people? Do we get jealous when he gifts others? Or have we forgotten that we've come from the same backgrounds? That's our first point. Never be angry about God's grace. But also, I want you to see that we should remember God's goodness to us. Remember God's goodness to us. That's in verses 5 through to 10. Jonah just forgot how good God had been to him. He just didn't have it in his mind. And what had God done for him? God had done amazing things for him. He'd saved him when he was in the water. He'd saved him from that storm. He provided a fish to bring him to dry land when he never would have got there. He hadn't abandoned him. But Jonah just forgot all that he had done, that God had done for him. And so God gives Jonah a lesson. He teaches him a lesson, and he teaches him that lesson with a plant. And this is what we have in these verses. He goes up to a hill on the side of the city, and he sits there. It's almost like he's in a strop. So he walks away up this hill, and he sits down. He wants to see what's going to happen to the city, because he wants God to destroy it. And as he sits there, God prepares a plant for him. This plant grows up, and it shades Jonah's head. Now, on a cold day like this, we don't know how nice that would have been. But if we're in the Middle East, or on a beach in the summer, we know how hot it can get when the sun is shining. And God prepares a plant to give a shade for Jonah's head, so that he doesn't get sunstroke, and so that he doesn't get too hot. And then God removes a plant. He sends a little worm to eat away at it, and the following morning the plant is nothing. And what's Jonah's response? Well, let's read it together. He says this: "Then he wished himself for death, and he said, 'It is better for me to die than to live.'" It's getting a bit over the top, really, but then he says, then God says to him, sorry, "Is it right for you to be angry about the plant?" Is it right, Jonah, for you to be angry about that plant? You see, here's the question. Did Jonah deserve the plant? Did he? No, he didn't deserve the plant. Who provided the plant? God provided the plant for Jonah. So what is Jonah doing to God? He's being good to him. But then he takes away the plant to show him just what he's missed. And in doing so, he's teaching Jonah that he must remember God's goodness to him. So when we see other people who are being blessed, or we see other churches that are being blessed, we must not say in our hearts, "That is not fair," or "I wish God would do the same thing for me." We should remember God's goodness to us. Let me put this another way. Are we going through a difficult time? Are we struggling with a certain situation at home or personally? So often we focus on that situation, but forget the goodness of God to us. We forget the graciousness of God to us. And that's what we need to do when we're going through those situations. Never forget how good God is to you. How good is he? Well, let me list them for you. Number one, he made you. He created you. Number two, he gives you air to breathe. He gives you food. He gives you the world to live in. He gives you families. He gives you many good things. Jobs, money. All these things come to you from God. But not only that, if you're a Christian, he has called you. And he has saved you. He has justified you by his grace. He has cleansed you by the blood of Jesus Christ. Such that your life is no longer lived just in the flesh, but it is hidden with Christ in God. He is sanctifying you by his Spirit. He will take you to be with him in heaven. You have a certain future in that perfect place. Think of all God has done for you. So how can we focus on the little things? How can Jonah focus on a plant that's taken away from him, which he never provided anyway, and forget God's goodness to us? So never be angry about grace, and never forget God's goodness. But also see this: we need to mirror God's heart for the lost. In verse 10 and 11, God says something else to Jonah. He said this: "You have had pity on the plant which you have not laboured, nor made it grow, which came up at night and perished at night. And should I not pity Nineveh, that great city, in which there are more than 120,000 persons who cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and much livestock. See, Jonah had got furious about this plan, but he'd forgotten the people of Nineveh. He was concerned with a minor thing, but had forgotten the big picture. And that is why God asks him this question. And when you hear this question, you get to the heart of the book of Jonah. Because the heart of the book of Jonah is for us to see that God has a desire that all people should come to know him. Jonah didn't have that desire, but God has pity on the Ninevites, that great city, and he longs that they would come to know him. And Jonah, as a book, prepares us for the coming of Jesus Christ. It's a prophecy pointing forward to what will happen when Jesus comes. And what will happen is this, that God will expand his kingdom to not be just a physical kingdom of Israel, but to become a spiritual kingdom, such that every nation and any person from that nation who calls on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. There is no distinction between Jew and Gentile, slave and free. The gospel offer, that offer of forgiveness, is open to all. And Jonah foretells that great event. But the question for us is, have we seen the heart of God for a world that is lost and dying? And do we have that same heart ourselves? Because God looks at Nineveh and he doesn't see enemies of Israel. He looks at Nineveh and he sees a city which is perishing. He looks as the Lord Jesus Christ looked over Jerusalem, and he weeps knowing they are a sheep without a shepherd. But when we look at people in our day-to-day lives, do we see people that way? Do we have God's heart for those who are lost and perishing? Or do we have our own jealous heart that says, I want all the blessing. I want all God's goodness. I don't want to see it given to others. But there's another thing here I want you to see. I want you to see that Jonah gets distracted by minor things. And in a Christian life, there's a great danger. Jonah gets distracted by this plant and God's removal of it, and forgets the people of Nineveh who are turning to God. And in our Christian lives, that's a great danger also. To be distracted by the small thing and miss the big picture, which is the gospel. And miss the big picture, which is a world that is lost and dying. And how often do we do that? We do that often. We sit at home and we think more about the colour of our walls than we do about our neighbours who are perishing without Jesus Christ. We sit at home, we play on our computer games and not think about our friends who are lost without Jesus. Maybe we're even in our committee meetings, if I can speak to the wild branches, and we talk about processes, or we talk about small things like the time we're going to serve dinner, and we forget that what really matters is people, and what really matters is the gospel. And this really tells in your priorities. It tells in how you make choices. That's how you'll know if you're seeing the small things instead of seeing the big things. Are my choices those which are going to further the kingdom of God and those which are going to reach a lost? Or are they choices which are just focusing on my little world and my good things? So do we have God's heart for a world that is lost? And if we don't, we need to pray. We need to pray that God would give us that heart. If we're getting jealous when God is blessing other people, we need to pray that God would change our hearts. And if we're going through difficulty, or if we seem to think everything's not going our way, we need to remember God's goodness to us. Focus on all Christ has done for you. See beyond the physical world. Realize that what really matters is the spiritual. Seal those blessings, and your heart will be warmed and encouraged. So this morning, are you a Jonah? Not in the sense of, are you running from God, but Jonah did that. But in the sense of, do you have God's heart for the lost? Or do you have Jonah's heart? Let's pray together. Our Lord and our God, we thank you that you have given for us here an example for us not to follow. And we pray, Heavenly Father, that we might not be like Jonah, seeing the small things but missing the big things. We pray that you would enlarge our hearts for the world which is lost without Jesus Christ. We pray that you change our priorities such that we choose those things you would have us to choose. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that we would live as you would have us live. That we would live with gospel priorities. That we would put the kingdom of God first. And that we would long to see that enlargement of the kingdom which is seen in this book, which is prophesied. That now Jesus Christ has come, we pray that more may come to know him. We pray that every tribe and every nation may turn to him. And we pray that if any here this morning you have not done so, we ask that they would trust you. In Jesus' name, amen.